huge policeman there in Morgantown. He said, Pastor Harper. I said, yes, sir. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I come to get that man you got pinned down in there. He said, you what? I said, promise. I said, let me take him with me. He said, do you know what you're doing? I said, I'll take custody of him. I'll take full responsibility of anything he does. I said, I've come to help him. He said, well, I think you're crazy. Well, I said, well, let me take him with me. And so I hollered in and called him by name. He said, thank you, Jesus. And he come out, and Bob and I took him to the church, to the fellowship hall. The new church wasn't done yet. And we started praying. And 4 o'clock in the morning, he says, I feels good. What now do I needs to do? I said, we need to be baptized in Jesus' name. He said, water? I said, yeah. He said, well, all right. So we took him and baptized him in Jesus' name. And when he come out of the water, he spit water that far. He was talking in tongues. So, and he's been coming to church, going to church ever since. And I was walking down High Street taking a radio broadcast in the other morning. And here he come down High Street in big white palms stretched out, big white teeth are shining. He said, there comes my favorite preacher. And he, top of his lungs, and throw both of his big arms around me and right on the cheek, right on downtown High Street. Said, oh, praise the Lord. Just shook my hand. But that boy has found the Lord. But it goes back to the enrollment. What the enrollment does is it ties a string to people. The certificate, the obligation that the church makes to folks, the commitment. See, we're all the time wanting people to make a commitment to the church. But it's a reversed. It's the church making a commitment to the person, making friends with them. So, anyway, when I see that, I think about Rob. And so, the good things of the Lord happen. Hurrying on here. See the lady with the extremely black hair? Well, Brother George Pounds is praying for her, but that is her balded brother right there with his head toward us. And but since that Shirley has been enrolled in our Sunday school, 35 members of her family have been baptized in Jesus' name just because one woman was enrolled in Sunday school. A major part of the earth hauling, her husband owns a fleet of big coal trucks. They came in and donated $20,000 worth of hauling to haul that earth out of there for us while we were digging it out of the mountain. Phenomenal things have happened around that family for the church, but that's because of the power of Enroll to Grow. Whole families come to God. See the woman? A very bad reputation, but a very good person when Jesus gets through with them. Baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is a phenomenal slide, but every person down that aisle there seeking for the Lord was an Enroll to Grow contact. Every person. We have done it now a total of 4 times at the church because we've just run out of places to do it. We had to take a 2-year break, and now we've done it again last year, and we'll do it again coming up in May. We're going to do Enroll to Grow again at the Riverside Church. But it makes new contacts. What it does is creates a pool of fish for you to fish out of. It creates a pool of contacts that are obligated to the church, and the church is obligated to them. It is a good public relations program to let people fall in love with your church. That's what it amounts to. Well, we have, as you know, it wasn't here that they mentioned it, and I'm not being braggadocious when I say this, but we have baptized in the last 10 years right at 4,000 people in the name of Jesus Christ in Morgantown. Today, 1 out of every 9 families is a member of the Riverside Sunday School in our city. Our town has 27,000 permanent residents, and we have a university there that pumps in another 17,000 to 20,000 kids and university staff. But 1 out of 9 is a member of our Sunday School. It'll start bus routes. It will get you more home Bible studies than you can teach. Because when people come in, they'll come in and say, boy, you know, I'd like to know more about that Bible. Or they'll ask a Bible question. Well, we just got a long line of home Bible study teachers. And when they ask that question, we say, and all of our ushers and everybody are trained to do this, that when they hear it, we take them and introduce them to a home Bible study teacher. That home Bible study teacher says, listen, I'll come over to your house and talk to you about it. Year before last, we taught 155 home Bible studies directly in attachment to Enroll to Grow. Lansing, Michigan, in 3 days, the Sunday school increased by 75 people on an average. Flint, Michigan, they enrolled 1,467, 1,018 attended. Gainesville, Georgia, I love to tell this story about Brother Duke. Brother Duke, kind of so passive, you know, and he's just such a unique fella. But nevertheless, he took Enroll to Grow, and with a shrugging of his shoulders, he came back to St. Louis, and we were sitting there talking. He said, tried your program, Brother Harper. I said, you did? I said, yeah. Yeah, so we did it for a week. He said, at the end of the week, he said, I don't know what happened. I thought you were going to tell me it didn't work. He said, at the end of the week, he said, on Sunday night, he said, we had 90 sinners come to the altar. I said, you what? He said, we had 90 sinners come to the altar. And he had a church that for years had run 40, 50, 60, 50, 40, 50, 60, back and forth for years. Did Enroll to Grow, and he went from 60 to 205 in 5 weeks. That is quadrupling. That's not doubling in a decade. That's quadrupling in a month and 1 week. Going on down Florida, 90 was enrolled in an hour and a half on a test session. In Ohio, in a home mission church, 35 new people came, 9 were baptized, and 7 received the Holy Ghost at the end of the first week. Richmond, Indiana, in 7 days, they enrolled 500. There's the Morgantown story. We started a home mission church, 2 Saturdays work, averaging 50. It will work. Now, there's the complex from the interstate looking down on it. And you can see why that contractor wanted so much money to move that earth. Kind of had to make a hole in the hill. And you believe that? Would you like to change that to Mississippi? Huh? Mississippi needs revival. It really does. And then all I can say in closing is this, is let's do it. Let's enroll to grow. We can do it. All righty? So I've told you several things here and taken more time than I probably should have. But I'll shut this off one notch. And I'd just like to stand up here now. And if you ask me something I don't know, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. I don't know. But I'll field any questions that you might have and might be interested in. All right, Brother Hurd. The first time we did it 1 week in May and 1 week in September. What I did was I created a glut of new people. And it created, by doing it twice a year, more people than I could handle. And so now we just do it in May, once a year for 1 week. What it does, it gives your church a place to start and a place to finish and feel like that they've been a completer and a winner in it. It's not a continual every week thing. We're not talking about something you do every week, every week, every week, every week, every week. We're talking about something you do for 1 week from Sunday to Sunday, and that's it. Once a year. All right. All right. When you have enrolled them, of course, the responsibility, the first act of responsibility is doing the follow-up. All right. But the second act of responsibility to them is this. We put them on a mailing list. And either every month we send them a brief statement of what's happened at the church or an announcement of something coming up. So every month they get something from the church. And that's the way we work with them. And then come Easter, come homecoming. They are either contacted by phone or a personal visit, every one of them. All 986 families are contacted by a personal visit or a phone call at the end of the deal for special occasions. Did I see another hand? Yes, brother. From the publishing house. Now, let me give you a little equation to work with, all right? If your church runs 50, one-third of them will knock doors. So you're talking about 15 to 18 people. That gives you 9 door-knocking couples. It's just something you can just kind of lodge up here on figuring material out. And if you're going to knock doors for 5 nights, those 9 people are going to reach 90 homes a night. And you're going to figure that you're going to reach in a week 450 homes. And out of those 450 homes, you will usually average 45 new families will enroll. So you could use that as kind of a rule of thumb of just about what you're going to do. You're going to just about enroll what you run in your church. And you are going to reach 10 times what you average in your church as far as homes. All right? That's in ordering material so that you can kind of keep a little figure in your head. And headquarters has, yes, has everything but the local church brochure. That's your responsibility. Anybody else? Yes. Eventually, you get to the whole city. You work a segment. The next year you do it, you move to the next quadrant. Next year you move to the next quadrant. And you just keep rotating through town. And by the time you get back to where you started, there's been enough people move in and move out that you've got brand new folks constantly to reach out there and touch as you go through town. Anybody else? The thing about it is it sounds too good to be true. It sounds too simple. We think it's got to be tough to be successful. It's a very simple approach. But the key to it, once you get them enrolled, the key is the follow-up. That initial follow-up visit is the real key. You got to work on that. You got to work on your approach. Work on your presentation of your material. Work on your prayer. And if you're going to follow up, I don't care if you're a pastor and his wife, you need to get somebody in the church and make them act as ignorant about Jesus as they can act. And you sit down and work on following up with that follow-up packet. And then have your teams to do that if you have a larger church. Make them work on it. Brother Haney took a Thursday evening, an hour and a half on Thursday evening, and 4 hours on Saturday in Stockton and enrolled 3,400 new people in his Sunday school. And I don't see any difference in Stockton and Jackson. You know? Anybody else? Yes. All right, the door knockers do nothing but the initial contact. The second night of activity, yes, it is follow-up workers going back to people that have said yes. No, in his church it just be his pastor and his wife doing the follow-up. Because out of 90 doors, they're going to get 9. It takes about 8 minutes to do a follow-up. So they got time. In an hour and a half, the pastor and his wife can follow up on all of the contacts made in the church of 50. Now, next go-around, it's going to be a little bit bigger, so he's going to need a Sunday school superintendent to help him. Because kind of start spreading out. All right? Anybody else? Don't sit there and say, when you leave, you say, I'd have liked to have asked a question, but I didn't want people to think I was dumb. There's not a dumb question. I might give you a dumb answer, but there's not a dumb question. Okay? So if you've got a question, ask it. It's very important. Yes, Brother Hurt. Rule. Where the, all that you've got is, like maybe you've got a mile between houses. Okay. Well, not quite that bad, but strung out a little bit. Okay. Yes, we do. And it does work, but it just cuts down on the number of folks that you can reach in an hour and a half. But it still works. And your percentages hold up. That's the unique thing about it. The percentages hold up. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. On your letter you send out, you put a little thing, return address requested. And so for a quarter per person that moves, you can chase them all over America through the Postal Service. They put a little yellow sticker on it and send it back to you and give you the correct address so you never lose them. And then if they move out of your town, well, then you would take their card out of your filing program. But you can chase them all through your town. As long as they've got an address, leave a forwarding address, you can chase them. Anybody else? I thought I saw another hand start up. All right. Tell me that again. Stand up and say that. I can't hear what you're saying. All right. Don't worry about it. Jesus told you a story so you wouldn't have a nervous breakdown about that. He said the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, he only promised that you was going to keep one fourth. And so for every four converts that you get, you really are only going to expect to keep one of them. So you're going to have a 75% backsliders quota, because that's the law of not my harvest, his harvest. And here's something else that you need to learn, is that the 25% that stays, the 25% that stays, you've got to think this too. You've got to remember that some of them are 100-fold, some of them are 60, and some of them just barely creep along at 30. And there's been a lot of people run people out of their church when they tried to make 100-fold people out of 30-fold people, and you can't make any more out of a person than what they are. And I'm going to tell you something else too. People get all caught up with this thing. Bless God, I want to have this, that, and the other about having a holy look, a good, clean church. I want everybody to conform to this, that, and something else. Well, let me just be honest with you about something. The quality of a congregation does not depend on the pulpit. The quality of the congregation depends on the soil that the seed is growing in. Don't have anything to do with the preacher. Don't have anything to do with the doctrine or the Word of God. The sower's right. The Scripture's right. There's nothing wrong with that seed. It's perfect. Not a thing wrong with it. But if there's people that don't come up to certain levels of living that you expect out of them, don't chop them off. They may only be worth 30 cents. But let them be worth that 30 cents they are. And let the wheat and the tares grow together. Let the goats run with the lambs. Somebody said one time, he said, but Brother Harper, won't they contaminate the church? I don't know. I don't think so. Jesus wouldn't have said to let them grow together if they would. There is no hybrid contact between the head of a tare and the head of a wheat. There is no genetic transformation between a goat and a sheep. They just don't get together. And so let the wheat and the tare and the groats and the sheep run together. And please don't put the gun on your preacher and demand him to do something about so and so. Somebody might be demanding that he do something about you. You know. And with that, and with all of that that's going on, and the feelings of that, the 100%ers will probably end up teaching Sunday school classes, singing in the choir, will probably end up holding offices in the church. That's where they'll probably end up. And they'll conform to holiness. You won't have any problem with them. Because good soil does good things. But people that don't come all the way in may not sing in the choir, may not hold offices, may not come up to all the level they are, but they still got a right to at least make a shot at heaven because He made room for them. So we're in the job of getting them in, not throwing them out. But you know what we've had a history of in Pentecost? We're the only group of people that sit around and set up ways to throw people out rather than get people in. And that's the truth. And that don't change the doctrine. That don't take a compromising stand. But it's got to put some sense in us somewhere that it's more sacred to point somebody toward heaven than to close the door on somebody. Somebody says, but Brother Harper, you don't know what kind of trouble they cause. You don't know what kind of heartache they've brought. Well, the Bible says that we ought to follow Jesus in His footsteps. And following Him in His footsteps, John wrote and said, did not He call 12 and one of them was a devil? And He didn't throw him out. He didn't run him off. He didn't discard him. He just kept trying. As futile as it was, he let Judas stay with him until Judas killed him. And what we're afraid of is somebody killing us. Well, I wish some folks would kill me. I'd be better off in heaven. Wouldn't you? Huh? Okay, somebody else. Thank you for asking the question. Thank you for that question. That stimulated thought that some things I'd forgot to tell you. Somebody else have a question. All right. Yes. 25 couples. Right. Now, wait a minute. You've got 25 couples knocking doors. All right, if you've got 25 couples knocking doors, then those 25 couples in an hour and a half are going to reach between 250 up to maybe 500 homes in an evening, depending on here with flat land, straight streets, you could probably reach 20 doors in an hour and a half. Okay, so they're going to produce for you somewhere up to 500 homes. Okay? And then out of that, you could may well end up with 50 new enrollments. Okay, but now if you're in a rural area, that's going to cut down. Okay? Anybody else? Was you wanting his question or just... You're just taping it. Okay. All right. It's 12:04. And I got to catch an airplane. My wife's waiting on me.
He's not through yet, but if you still think of another question, we'll give him just another chance. Just a few things I want to mention. We did try it. Brother Hurd, you asked about a rural area. I found we did it at Polkville in October. And I found in our situation, and I don't like any of y'all talking about Polkville, but let me talk about it. It's kind of like my family, you know. I'll talk about them, but don't you. And we don't have any metropolitan area in any sense of the word. I found we knocked about 6 doors per hour. So in a rural area, if you'll figure about 6 doors per couple per hour, that'll be a pretty good rule of thumb for you to figure. But I will say the statistics, I was amazed. I was sharing with some even last night. I took the statistics that Brother Harper had given. One-third would be knocking doors. And I said, okay, Lord, if it worked for him, you know, respect for persons. I went there the particular night I presented it. We had 75 adults in attendance. We had 26 door knockers to come forth that night. It was almost exactly a third. So the equation, it really works no matter what the situation. Not only that, but our contacts held almost to the line, and also the responses held. So we have seen not a phenomenal growth. And this reason I wanted him to emphasize, because I don't want you to make one of the mistakes I did, and that's that continual follow-up. Those people, and when I did all the follow-up myself, and the spirit that I felt there, it was such a beautiful response. And contrary to maybe what you would think, we went and we gathered together, and we'd have a brief prayer, and we'd hit the roads, and we'd go, and they were praying at the church. And when we got back every night to and began to look at the reports, the team that just did circles around everybody else were two people, Brother Kraft, that I wouldn't have put a nickel's worth of accomplishment in either one of them. They can't even testify. They wouldn't think about standing up in church, but they felt right at home out there knocking doors with people, and because they were so comfortable in it, those folks said, yeah. And I went back, and there was weeping, and I could just go on about the things that we failed in the homes, but it will work. You know, it'll work in a rural area. It'll work in a city. It'll work wherever we're at. We've got something to offer. A suggestion I want to give to you, I don't know if you're aware, but at the Mississippi State Highway Department, you know Woodrow Wilson, just go 95 and get off on Woodrow Wilson. The Mississippi State Highway Department, for you brethren that will be dealing in a rural area, you can buy these county maps, big old maps, for $1.50 or $2. $2 a big old map. You can get a smaller map to use to pass out to your people if you're in a rural area to divide it out. And it's only 50 cents, and you can pass those out to your folks. It's got every home on those streets. It's got every home there. So you can look, and you're not just running blind, but you see how many houses on this road and how many is on this little crook, and you can route out your folks. That's at the Mississippi State Highway Department, and they've got a sign there, and they'll have a big sign that says map sales. You just go into that door right there, and they'll be there ready to help you. Of course, your Chamber of Commerce can help those of you that are in a city. But I wanted to mention that. The church brochure, you can make it, and that will depend upon you. I have a sample of the various materials that you saw, and these are available, as you stated, from headquarters. We did a very simple thing. It's a brochure from our church. I designed it so we could also put it in our pew that when visitors came. And if you want to look at that, it's not something that has photography, but we felt it was neat, and there was real good response on that. Feel free to come and look at that. If you have any questions, further questions, are there any more questions in your mind that you'd like to ask Brother Harper? The cost of the packets. Okay. Can you give them? Have you got a price list? Brother Height, and I don't have that either, but we purchased our material, I put about, and this is from our church, I put about $75 just in material, and we've still got enough to do and roll to grow another year. So it's not going to be something that's going to be that expensive. Of each of your items, $39.95. Now, some of the things, you know, really you don't need 100 if you don't want. The little membership card, we like to give every child, no matter what their age, we gave them. Brother James King in Biloxi has done something with this card that I thought was just beautiful. In his Sunday school, instead of just carrying this card to folks, and he's not only used it, he hadn't used it in Roll to Grow, but he used it in his Sunday school. Folks like recognition. And in his Sunday morning, when anybody comes, he gets their name, and if they're a visitor, at the close of service, he's had his secretary to prepare these cards, and at the close of service, they call all their visitors that are first-time, brand-new visitors, and they present them a membership card of their Sunday school every time somebody new comes. And it gets them out front. It lets everybody see them, and it gives them exposure. And they really like that, and they come back. He's had good response just with these cards. You may want to use that in that area. Again, anything we've got, It's a service to you, and we want you to know that we're here to win souls. That's our purpose in being here. Amen. And God is opening a door, and I feel this is a great opportunity that's been afforded us. Any other questions? Could we give Brother Harper just a rising applaud of thanks, Brother? Okay, excuse me. Brother John's is so kind to me. Amen. We've brought Brother Harper a long way over here to be with us. And we gave you a privilege of blessing and giving an offering last night. And he's already posted some of our ushers, you brethren, if you can help us. We don't want Brother Harper to leave here and not want to come back to Mississippi. And maybe you pastors, I noticed some here that weren't here last night. If you could give for your church, we certainly would appreciate this. We're not wanting to make a high-pressure deal. I believe God will supply the need, but he just may want you to be a part of that. We want to give you an opportunity this morning to give, to help us. We didn't receive enough last night to take care of all the expense, and I believe that God can help us this morning.